our good friend, Secretary of State John Merrill. He always is so generous with his time, and he joins us this morning on the Matt and Valerie Hotline, brought to you by Birmingham Broker, to talk to us about some legislation that he is in support of that would include no excuse absentee ballots. John, I hope I have that correct. And first and foremost, good morning. Hope you're well.
Hey, Matt. Good to be with y'all as always.
John, talk to us about this legislation and talk to us about where you are on it.
Well, look, as y'all know, and it's been well documented and recorded for the last 6 years that I've been Secretary of State, actually 6 years, 1 month, and 6 days today, there's been no greater champion for election integrity and ensuring safe, secure, and fair elections than me and our office in that period of time, serving as our Secretary of State. As we do each and every election cycle, once the election is completed, we look at the things that have occurred over that period of time. We make determinations about legislation that might need to be advanced or might need to be considered to secure the elections even farther. And this time is absolutely no different than any other time, which is one of the reasons why we passed more than 40 pieces of legislation since I've been the secretary. So as is common, a number of members will introduce legislation about different topics, and that happened again this year. So as we're reviewing the legislation that's been introduced by members from around the state, my legislative assistant, Grace Newcomb, who is also our press person, she introduced to me that State Representative Laura Hall from Huntsville had actually introduced a bill to eliminate no excuse absentee voting, which means that when you apply for the absentee ballot, you have to indicate the reasons why you would be in favor of supporting of voting absentee and why that would be required for you to do so. There's about 10 things. We revisited that legislation a couple of years ago. Roger Smitherman carried that bill for me as a bipartisan bill, strengthening the process and streamlining the excuse provisions. So when we looked at it, we realized that was the only thing that she talked about. So what we thought we would do is approach her with some changes. So one of the things that we introduced was that because of the onslaught of people voting absentee in the 2020 cycle, we thought it was important to add people that could work in the absentee office during this election administration if desired and have those people paid for by the state. So one of the things that we suggested was that she add that as a provision. Number two is we added a provision to be able to open absentee ballots at 7 a.m. when the polls open, as opposed to waiting till noon, because again, if we had an inordinate number of absentee ballots submitted, you need that extra time that we were able to take advantage of this time because of the governor's order. And third, but certainly not least, one of the things that we suggested she consider was adopting a change where absentee ballot applications, instead of being made as late as 5 days prior to the election, you can make them 5 days prior to the election if you chose to vote absentee in person at the absentee election manager's office. But if you did it by mail, then you had to make sure that you did it no later than 14 days prior to the election. And she adopted all of those things. And so in doing so, we looked at the absentee excuse provisions. And as y'all know, we streamlined that process in 2020 because I was able to invoke Title 17-11-3, which gives me the authority during the time of declared state of emergency to indicate why people should be able to vote absentee. And we told everyone to mark the box that says I'm ill or infirmed and unable to appear at my polling site on election day. Of course, that resulted in a record number of absentee ballot applications, 331,000 statewide, and 305,000 successfully submitted absentee ballots. Now, you have to ask yourself this question. Why do we have the absentee excuses? Well, at some point in the past, apparently someone thought that the absentee ballot excuses would be a way to indicate to the absentee election manager and other election officials why people were voting prior to election day. But for whatever that purpose was, it no longer exists. Because I can tell you this, I know all 68 absentee election managers in the 67 counties, and I know that only one person of all of those people ever checks the absentee ballot application excuses.
Well, and yeah, I mean, that. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
And yes, sir. And nobody, Matt and Val, nobody actually compares the absentee ballot application excuses and matches them against the absentee ballot affidavit envelope with those excuses to make sure that they're the same. Mm-hmm. And nobody in the state calls on election day to ensure that that person is out of town.
Right.
Or that person is ill or infirmed, or that person's away in college, or that person meets any other of the standards that are listed there.
All right, so a couple of things, quick, because we've we've only got about 3 or 4 minutes left. But here, so the photo ID requirement will still be in place.
That's correct.
Okay, and it is your contention, and what I hear you, and I might. And I might be putting, you know, a fine point on it here, but it sounds to me like you're saying, as Secretary of State, that the excuse provision that's currently in the law is just
antiquated.
It doesn't function. It doesn't serve any function, really.
It serves no purpose, because even if you violate it, there's no penalty.
Right. Mm-hmm. Nobody's checking behind. Penalty. Nobody's checking.
Not only is nobody checking, but if you violate it, you're not going to be fined. You're not going to be indicted. You're not going to serve time.
Your vote will still count, I would bet. I bet your vote still counts. So if I checked the box now, if I vote in 2022, not that I would, but if I decide to vote absentee just because I don't want to go, and I get an absentee ballot, and I present my photo ID, I do the things necessary for an absentee ballot, and I check, I'm sick. You know, just I check sickness. And then I call your office the day after Election Day and say, John, I lied about that. I wasn't really sick, and I voted, ha, ha, ha. There's not really anything that's going to be done to me.
You would be correct, even though that would be highly unlikely that that would ever occur.
Well, I mean, you're selling me. I mean, not selling me, but you make good points here this morning, John, that if there's still a photo ID. Now, some would suggest, is this possibly creeping toward not requiring photo ID for absentee ballots?
Absolutely not, because we're not changing that law. I helped pass that law. That's the one thing that, and you know what we did when we revisited this in 19 with Senator Smitherman's bill that he carried for me for 3 years before we finally got it passed, is we moved the requirement for the absentee ballot application to be accompanied by the photo ID. Whereas before 2019, you only had to submit it when you returned your ballot, which is not the way that you do it when you vote in person. So this makes it consistent. But the fact that you have to submit the ID with the application is the thing that makes sure that we don't have voter fraud, because that helps us check against what we need to check against. That's why that's so valuable, and that's not going to change. Everything we're ever going to do, Matt and Val, is designed to make it easier to vote and harder to cheat in Alabama, mm-hmm. period.
Mm-hmm. John, let me ask you this, and I don't know that we even asked it at this past election. You've been,
but I will say this, Val, before you ask me this question.
Yeah, go ahead.
When you got Josh Moon saying good things about you,
that's a problem. That's a problem. See, yeah, Merrill, yeah. That's trouble.
That's right.
Yeah.
What I was going to ask was, and I don't know that we asked this last election, you've been great about giving out your number and saying, hey, if you don't have a valid ID, a photo ID, we can make that happen. This last election, did you, you know, how many people that you know of contacted you or your office saying, I don't have an ID and I need your help to get one? Were there many people?
Had nobody call
nobody.
Me personally. Nobody. And call me personally as often as I give out that number, 334-328-2787. And asked me to ensure that they could have a photo ID so they would be able to exercise their right to vote on November the 3rd. Nobody. Now, I know that we probably provided some in the 67 counties, when people requested them. But as far as somebody calling me specifically and saying, I need that in order to make sure I can vote, that did not happen.
Well, John, I discovered the one person in Alabama this morning, and when I contacted you, I found the one person that doesn't currently have your cell phone number, and that's our producer, John Bird. John said, "Hey, can you give me Merrill's number?" I said, "He gives it out every time he's on the ring."
I got it. I just realized I got it. John, don't worry, I got it.
No, all right, John. I love it. I love the passion that you bring to the office, and we always love talking to you. And we'll do it again very soon.